Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And this is Jussie Smollett along with David Bellavia on Smollett and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WB. Too soon? Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. David, I don't mean to, like, you know, take you off into an area we don't want to go to today, but that Smollett story, you called it all along. You called it from day one.
Well, you don't have to be Professor Calculus to put all that together. I mean, the whole thing is... But here's the crazy part, though. If he was behind the letters that he sent himself, I mean, I'd love to talk to a guy at the FBI or the district attorney or U.S. attorney and ask if you... I mean, that's the equivalent of a pipe bomb.
That's like a terrorist act.
It's a terrorist act. If you knowingly send a substance so that the recipient of it will think that there's, you know, some sort of, you know, powder that could hurt you or do whatever, you've crossed into a totally... And then you're upset that more people weren't upset that you sent crushed Tylenol in the mail and you stage an attack like that. It's... I'm sorry, but this is at a whole new level of just, you know, he needs to apologize. That guy's got to go to prison for a very long time. I mean, that's, you know, there's people being 3,000 people a month are being shot in Chicago. And there were 12 detectives working that case 24/7 to find out that he hung himself with something at Ace Hardware.
Yes. And we're going to obviously keep an eye on that story, but it's not going to turn out very well for Jussie Smollett.
Everyone knows you choke people with rope that you buy at Home Depot. Come on.
Well, this is, you know, that's a little detail that they never really thought through, I don't think.
No, but seriously, the whole thing is just disgusting. And I love, remember that actress that went on Stephen Colbert and started crying and losing
her
mind?
Yes.
I mean, does anyone reach out to her people? I mean, first of all, you claim Mike Pence was trying to stop you and your wife from getting married. I mean, the whole thing is just nuts. I've been waiting forever for Don Lemon to do his show on CNN. He does a 2-hour show because nobody is, I mean, more people are watching us get dressed in the morning than listen to Don Lemon. But my point is, Don Lemon finally addressed the Jussie Smollett saga at 11:40 last night.
11:40 last night.
And he started his show at 10 o'clock and has not addressed it at all. And he was claiming that he texts Jussie Smollett every day, that they text back and forth, and he had no ownership of that story whatsoever. It was just like, hey, this happened, and hey, you know, let's... What are the authorities saying? What do you think is going to happen? I mean,
close your eyes and slowly back away.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, when there are conspiracies and then there's that story, it's just absurd. And, you know, you go back to the Duke Lacrosse case, you go to Tawana Brown. Al Sharpton, of all people, is saying, throw the book at him. you know that is, you're in trouble when that happens.
And the irony, of course, there is that Al Sharpton was one of the very early champions of Tawana Brawley. If not for Tawana Brawley, Al Sharpton would not be a household name.
And Tawana Brawley was a girl who, in the 80s, missed curfew, didn't want to tell her parents where she was. So she took dog manure and wrote horrible racist things on her own body and claimed that a gang of white guys, including, I believe, a prosecutor and
a cop, yeah,
raped her, only to find out that she had, you know, put just manure on herself. By the way, that's some strict parenting. And, you know, we've all missed curfew before, but when you get to the point where you're running around in the neighbor's yard.
Well, you know, it would be funny if one of the guys involved who was named by Tawana Brawley hadn't suicided. Well, no, I mean, his reputation was so damaged that at least one of them suicided.
It's horrible. I mean, come on, the Duke Lacrosse guys, what are they doing now? I mean, you Google that name, you don't know that their lives are forever destroyed by being connected to something. And when they tested the woman's DNA, you know, she had multiple DNA on her clothing, but it was none of the boys that were in the lacrosse team. So,
yeah, these stories
horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible. They're out of hand. They're uncalled for. You name it, and they are.
And I'll tell you, a person is going to end up, you know, there are ignorant, horrible, hateful people out there. And what's going to happen? They're going to hold a press conference, and no one's going to, everyone's going to be like, nah. Or maybe it just plays into the narrative, and everyone just carries the water anyway. Meanwhile, a kid in Covington High School is suing the Washington Post for $250 million.
You just read my mind. Next thing on my list of things to mention at the beginning of the show, and $250 million, the damages being sought.
And he's going to have a prom date. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
$250 million made him the most popular kid in that school.
Well, they're going to settle out of court. I don't see any reason why they're not going to settle out of court. But remember, I mean, they're going after Jeff Bezos.
They're going at, well, listen.
Kind of.
Well, the Washington Post is owned by Amazon, you know, and that's what happens. But here's the thing. I mean, the stories that they carried and the version of the story they put out there wasn't based on anything. There was videotape. That all they had to wait was 24 hours to see all the different versions of the videos that surfaced to realize that what they were reporting was not based in any fact whatsoever. Where are, you know, our modern day journalists? They don't exist.
No, they absolutely do not. Nobody does investigative reporting anymore. It is simply a question of following the leader and listening to the echo chamber and reporting back what you hear in the echo chamber. That's it. That's journalism.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's enough to make somebody absolutely miserable, David. It's enough to make somebody absolutely unhappy, which reminds me of a show we started to do last week, but we never actually finished doing the show. We never really got into the show because we had full lines of calls, and then we had the mini blizzard that hit us. I think it was a week ago today, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what? It was a week. Isn't that crazy? It seems like it was a month ago.
I know.
But we had a full board of calls, and they were good calls. They were quality calls. Yesterday was a good day for calls, too. And all of a sudden, we got hit with the, what did we call this, the blizzard?
Didn't we call it the mini blizzard?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Knife, pocket knife, whatever. I don't know what they called it. It was a horrible storm.
I called it winter storm pain in the ass.
Oh, and it happened right in the middle of a great topic, and that is really inexcusable. Now, some people would have just soldiered through the topic and paid no attention to people stranded on the roads.
that's not how we operate.
That's not how we operate. Some other radio stations may do that, but not here.
No, not we. We're on top of it. But we want to revisit something that we started to get into last week, and we thought it was a really good topic last week, and we still do. So there is, we'll break it down. The details on this are not important. It's just the major point that is important, and it is this. At what age have you been the happiest in your life? And basically, the way things shaped out is that, what was it, David, 26 or 27 is one peak of happiness, and the other peak of happiness is over the age of 50 for most human beings?
You know, it's funny because this number, when you go back to like Psychology Today in 2015, this is a study that's done every year, and they collect this data over time. In the year 2000, those numbers shifted, and it was 40 that was the best year of your life, and it was, you know, what is it, 23 was the best year of your life before 9/11. Now in 2019, it went back, you know, almost 10 years. So they're saying that at 52 years of age, between 52 and 53, if you've had a bad life and it was miserable, you can change the ending of your life and make it a good life, because people make life decisions at 52 and 53 that are impacting their happiness. And the other thing is that they're saying that, you know, when you hit 70, they're the happiest, you know, 42% of the people that were surveyed said the happiest times of their life were in their 70s.
So what is, so far to date, the happiest time of your life? Why was it the happiest time of your life? And conversely, is there a most miserable time of your life? And you know, David, we could also throw, I was thinking about this, not to muddy the waters, and get the phone number out, because the last time we did this as a topic, guys, seriously, we had a full board of calls in about 30 seconds, and then what happened was we couldn't get to the calls because of the mini storm that hit us last week, and we felt like we really let you guys down, and we don't like that feeling. I mean, if we make you angry, that's one thing. We can't really help that, but when we let you down, that's when we feel bad. The phone number, 803-0930. That's 803-0930. Star 930 is free on the cell phone. And 1-800-616-WBEN.
Last time we did this show was in 1986 in a town in Russia called Chernobyl.
You're just talking about that because Russia just announced it has an underwater drone.
That's right. That'll definitely find Atlantis. That's what we're looking for, underwater drones. But no, last time we did this, cataclysmic weather hit, and we lost all of our mojo going into that.
That was highly unfortunate, but it had to be done.
But we did a good 35, 40 minutes on this topic.
It was a great setup for the show.
And all of a sudden, everything went downhill.
I got something else for you, too, though, my friend, and that is this. Do you believe or not believe in the so-called midlife crisis? I absolutely, positively, A, believe in the midlife crisis, and B, I believe that it is quite possible to have more than one midlife crisis.
Well, give me an example.
An example. Okay.
You
could have like a midlife crisis at the age of 40 over something like, here it is. My life is halfway over. I'm not even close to being on the road I thought I would be on at this point in my life.
Divorce, heart attack, car accident, whatever
Bingo.
It is. Something happens cataclysmic and you reevaluate things and you're like, oh no, I just beat cancer. And what am I beating cancer for? This is not what I wanted to be when I was 20.
Right.
So I'm going to go buy a Miata. And I'm going to go start a new family in Colorado.
Well, Mr. Kuralt, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying that that's one midlife crisis. But you're saying you could have a second one.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that a midlife. I think you are entitled to more than one midlife crisis. And frankly, if you get through a midlife crisis, it makes you a stronger person. Somebody once said that which does not kill me makes me stronger.
But you know what? I think we had all these crises throughout our life, and people went out and got tattoos. They got their ears pierced. You know, when you're 20, I know someone who every time.
Buy all these guitars.
You know, every time this person has any sort of trauma in their life, they change their hair color. They go and they, you know, break up with a friend. They go and get a new job. They just change their life totally. I know male friends who get, you know, a new wardrobe and radically change the way they look or get a new tattoo. I know a guy who's getting tattoos now. He's 41 years old and he's out there every other week. He has something happen. He throws a new tattoo on his
body. Wow.
That's his way of dealing with it. But, you know, these are 20-year-old people, 30-year-old people. That's not a midlife. It's like a pre-life crisis.
But, you know, I'm thinking about the parents of our younger listeners or our younger listeners as individuals. You know what would really depress me? If I was in my 20s and I had just gotten out of college, here's what I would think that would be the most miserable time of your life because you've put 4 or 6 years into getting a college degree, right? And you think, hey, the college degree should make my life considerably easier. But then you start realizing, oh, wait a minute. All of those student loans for which I signed up when I was 18, 17 years old, I have to start paying them now. I would think that has sent people into spasms of depression or spasms of, oh my God, what have I done panic. I honestly don't know how today's young people are able to make it in the world because, as I've said frequently, you know, some of these kids have like a $300 or $400 a month nut that they've got to meet in order to just live.
It's nuts, you know, the amount of that's stress. I mean, how much of your quality of life is predetermined by what's in your bank account?
You know what? My take on that has always been money.
Or what's not in your bank account?
Exactly. But no, money is never going to buy happiness, but money does take away some of the stresses that often bring on unhappiness, like worrying about whether you're going to be able to pay the gas bill, worrying about how many miles you're putting on your car, what the resale value is going to be, all those kinds of things.
And then there's all this stress that comes. I mean, children bring so much joy and are such a blessing, but they get to an age where they just are creating stress constantly. Just, you know, You worry about their decisions. You worry about, you know, their life struggles become your life struggles. Then you get to the age where your parents start to, you know, you look at their health and you start to worry about how long you're going to have your parents. And I guess it's just how you deal with stress. And if you can put money by, to me, money is the easiest because there, at least there's ways that you can make more money. If you don't have health, you know,
as long as there are truck stops, there are always ways to make more money.
Well, I mean, of course, you're talking about selling cookies.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
But honestly, there's things that you just don't have any control over. And that's, I think, you know, that's got to be the most stressful part of your life when you, it doesn't matter how much money you have and it doesn't matter how many friends you have. It doesn't matter how great your marriage or your family is. If, you know, you've got a giant arrow in your head.
Scale of 1 to 10. How happy is David Bellavia right now? You're younger than I am, so you should be more miserable than I.
I don't have any misery. I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I don't even know what it... Hopefully, you never achieve a 10, right? Because you're always hoping...
You're always striving for something more. You should be.
Right. So, you know, you'll put yourself at an 8 or a 7 all the time, no matter what happens. And it's... I've learned recently, very recently... I've learned that I need to stop complaining and stop internalizing things because at the end of the day, what do you really control?
You can only, this is going to sound stupid, but you can only control that which you can control. And right. Some things you just have to recognize are out of your hands, like being wheeled in for some major surgery. That is out of your hands.
Well, try to do a show without a commercial break. You can't control it.
No, absolutely not. In fact, that reality is going to hit us in just a moment. But obviously, this is a popular topic, so we'll restate the topic and tell you that we've got two open phone lines, and that's it. At what age in your life have you been the happiest? Happiness found you when? You might have had several periods in your life that made you happy. You might have had several periods in your life that made you unhappy. I mean, I will tell you as a general rule, of course, something will probably happen. I'll probably curse myself for saying this, but
got hit by a car on the way up.
As a general rule, I will tell you that the happiest I've ever been in my life has been the last 5-6 years. So I guess I fit what that study said. About people, you know, hitting 50 and then you start to see the world in a different way.
And so what do you equate that to, though?
I think it's the ability to not give a flying fig about certain things. I think that's good. And also I think if you make it to 50, you've got to know who you are, what you're about, what you enjoy doing, what you don't enjoy doing. And I think that when you hit the age of 50, and this happens obviously for different people at different times, but you do realize that life is finite and you do have a choice that you've got to make. You can wake up and be absolutely miserable and continue to do the same things that made you miserable, or you can wake up and say, hey, I'm going to make the most out of whatever time I've got, and hopefully people will take that approach. So we will see with the telephone calls, 803-0930, when in your life have you been the most happy and why? It's not just why, it's why. From News Radio 930 WBEN. And I still think we ought to get as a sponsor, Cool Whip. It just would make sense. Whip. Cool Whip. The best and the worst days of your life. We're trying to figure out the ideal age for happiness. You know, one of the great gifts, David, of middle age is indifference. That's a bit of bar wisdom I picked up many, many years ago, and it always resonated with me. One of the great gifts of middle age is indifference, and one of the other great gifts of middle age is being able to tell people exactly what you think of them without any fear or without any trepidation because... Did I mention you just don't care anymore? You're going to get your story out. You're going to tell your side and just, you know, basically level anybody who decides that, you know, they want to make you a target. I enjoy that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's, to me, if that's the best part of middle age, I mean, it's knowing who you are, being comfortable in your skin.
It's like playing Monopoly.
Well, but right. But I guess to me, I find when I see older people, you know, I've been blessed enough to see folks 80s and 90s that are just without regrets and they're, you know, they're living quality lives. You look at that World War II generation And, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of, with medicine and technology and the fact that people are living much longer than they ever dreamed of, you know, if you're able to have health and you're able to be with people that you respect and you could be 95, 97 years old and have no regrets and see life as a gift, I don't know. That's kind of special.
And sometimes you don't even have to wait until that. I mean, if people have a health scare, you know, it can help put things in perspective. I mean, one of those near death kind of health scares.
Yeah, I mean, there's people. I think that gives you definitely a perspective. Some people go into depression when they have a close brush, either with health.
Tell me about it.
Accidents or any, but it all goes to your disposition. And I think if you're truly looking for happiness, you'll find happiness anywhere. And it's a very important lesson for young people is to realize that, you know, you got kids that are suicidal over, you know. The worst days of your life in junior high school or high school are not even a blip on the radar. It's like, just go another day. You know,
yep.
You're super sad. You're super depressed. Everything is going to get better. It always works out. And you look back at that time in your life and think, man, I was all upset about a zit on my nose. I was upset because someone called me a name or the girl didn't like me. You won't even remember 99% of the people in the fifth grade that like you or don't like you. Life is all about the moment, and you know, we get a little too caught up in the moment sometimes.
I want to back up what David has said. So if you are a student and you're coming back from you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, middle school, high school, listen very carefully to what David Bellavia just said, because he's absolutely 100% spot on. I will tell you that in all likelihood, your school years will be among the worst of your lives, in all likelihood. And take it from a guy who makes it a point to go to each and every reunion I possibly can. The ones who are doing the picking on you, the ones who are doing the bullying, the ones who think they're all that and more in junior high school and high school and even elementary school, you're never going to see them at the reunion. You know why? Because they peaked in high school. Those were the glory days that Bruce Springsteen sang about. So if you're not on the in crowd, if you're not the popular kid, it's all good. Because you know what? Your life, you just keep working at your life. You don't worry about what those people in your class are saying about you. And you just do what you've got to do. And by all means, don't let them get the better of you. And don't even think about taking your own life, because suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem 99% of the time. Let's get some phone calls here. People want to talk about the best time and the worst time of their life. We're trying to figure out the ideal age at which you may achieve happiness. Here is Steve on a cell phone. Steve, you are on WBEN.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Kudos on the show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
First-time caller, long-time listener. So, personally for me, the best time of my year was in my 20s. My life was in the 20s.
Well, that actually jibes with what this study says. What made the 20s the best time of your life?
Basically, you get to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and who you want to do it with. And the older you get, you kind of limit yourself after you get married, have kids. Yeah, kind of all that other fun stuff kind of disappears a little bit.
Oh, it goes away for a while. There's no doubt about that. You find new ways to have fun.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. But I don't know, after I got married and had my kids, you know, like they always say, your life changes, but I don't know. I mean, not that I don't enjoy my life.
So whereabouts in your life now are you, Steve? Would you describe yourself as middle-aged?
Yeah, I'm 59, to be honest.
No reason to be ashamed of being 59, although the big 6-0 is coming right up. Is that somewhat freaky to you, the fact that, oh, my God, I remember when Grandma and Grandpa were 60 years old and I thought that they were ancient, and now you're about to hit that same age, and so am I eventually?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When my grandparents, even when my parents turned 60, I was like, are you kidding me? You know, now that I'm getting there, I'm like, okay, now is this how my kids see me? You know, am I the old fart in the group?
As a matter of fact, Steve, I think you already know the answer to that.
Thank you very much.
Don't worry, man. I'm going through it. Me too.
Yeah, I really don't have a worst time of my life.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
geez, I've got a lot.
No, to that's awesome to hear. You don't hear that enough, Steve, and I think that reflects the fact that you're living a perfect life, your perfect life.
I wouldn't call it perfect.
All of a sudden you hear a shotgun in the background.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just happy with my life, where I'm at, you know, socially, economically, job-wise.
That's great.
Wise, you know, like Tom said earlier, you can't change what you can't change.
This is, that is correct. Sometimes you just have to realize that there is a lot about life that is out of your control. And there are some things you are never going to be. Not to make the show about me. I would love to be a lawyer, okay? I would love to go to law school. I would love to practice law. But guess what? The time expired on that, I think, a few years ago. And that ain't ever going to happen. And I got to be vicariously happy for my daughter doing it.
You know, that's why a lot of people, I think, go into acting.
because of a midlife crisis?
No, because it allows you to live parts of your life that you never did. And
what
so
a great
you get
point.
You get to experience all these different things, and a lot of people enjoy that. But getting back to what Steve is talking about, that to me, I don't know anything about you, but you, to me, that is the perfect evolution of a man or a woman, is to get to the point. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how many divorces you've been through. That evolution is what I think every person should aspire to get to.
Steve, have you been with the same woman since you were in your 20s?
Steve, how much money do you have?
No.
But truly, though.
I don't know.
No, but that's where we should be. If someone just wrote in and said, when you truly don't care what anyone thinks about you, you've reached a dangerously level of awesome.
Scary awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Either accept me for who I am or move on.
Wow. All right, Steve, it's good to hear from somebody who is obviously having a good time with this life, because you don't get a do-over.
Steve is woke.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. All right, at what age have you been the happiest and why? And has there been an age where you have been woefully unhappy? And for those of you who are millennials or those of you in the I generation, I'm sorry to keep going back to this, but I've got to think those student loans are a huge source of stress and therefore financial unhappiness. The good news is you're not going to be paying them the rest of your life. The bad news is they can really play havoc with your economic situation in your 20s and your 30s. Correct, Phil? Phil is smiling every time I say that.
You might be paying him the rest
of
your life.
Say what?
You might be paying him the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I think, though, if you consider that everyone that's in your situation is in the exact same situation outside of a trust fund child or someone who had mom and dad pay for it, it really is a sign of accomplishment. It's not, because, listen, you don't know any other way but to have crippling student loan debt, right? And there's a lot of people that don't. If you grew up in a country where mortar rounds land on your head every 10 minutes, there's a chance of someone shooting you in the face, and you have one good day where you don't see someone killed or you don't see a terrorist attack, you think in your world, this is a good day. So when you put everything in perspective, what that student loan represents is that you did something with yourself, and no one did it for you. You did it yourself. You weren't handed anything. Mom and dad didn't take care of it. Uncle Ed didn't die and leave you with millions. And everything you do, Phil Kennedy, is based on what you accomplish.
I agree with that.
Come here and give me a hug.
This is getting very touchy.
No, it's the truth, though. It's a sign that you've accomplished something. There should be nothing that you look at your age and think, oh, my gosh, this is miserable. Everything should be optimistic. It's a bright future. You control your destiny. Vote for Christian Gillibrand for president.
I'm here for the ranch dressing.
We'll get to that and why that even came up in a little bit on WBEN. But obviously you guys love this topic, and hopefully there won't be like a traffic nightmare like there was when we whipped it out last week.
But just real quick, though, there was a winter advisory that was just canceled
yes.
for downtown Buffalo. So just so you know.
It's just good for the South Towns.
You never know when it might just turn and we lose this topic again.
Here is Mike in Buffalo. Mike, the best days of your life.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Sir.
Well, before we get to the best, I'd say the worst was definitely college, for sure.
Why was the worst college?
My situation was a little different than most people. Not that I think I'm special, but I worked full-time and went to school. So it was absolutely brutal.
Been there, done that. But yeah, I'll tell you something, it's a tremendous sense of accomplishment.
I did. I did pay off my loans in about 3 years, so that was why I worked the whole time, and it was a big thing off my shoulders.
And the thing about that, what would your life have been like now had you not had that experience of, you know, you control your own destiny?
I don't even want to think about it. I'm guessing a lot of things I've gotten to do that people wish they could do, you know, I've done, and I wouldn't have those experiences in my life.
But they're because of you.
Yeah.
They're not because of someone else. No one gave you that.
Able to, you know, it made life a lot easier down the road.
Do you have children?
I do not have children.
When you do have children, and let's say you were in a position where you could pay for everything, would you choose to not do that so they could experience the way you went through your journey because of...
No, when I think of my own parents, it's not, you know, they weren't in the position to help, but I didn't want them to help me. I thought, you know, I was 18. They spent their whole lives raising me. Now it's time for them to relax, and I got to get myself together.
Mike, if you got something else to say, we'd sure like to hear it because we love this topic on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll put you on hold. Bowerly and Bellavia, at what point in your life have you been the happiest and why? At what point have you been the most miserable and why? Any regrets? And is the midlife crisis myth or fact? Let's go back to Mike because he didn't have a chance to finish his thoughts. We're talking about the happiest, best days of your life and the worst days of your life, because there's this article that claims that people who are in their 20s and people who are in their 70s have the most happy days.
All right. Well, like I'd like to say, college I thought was the worst. As far as happy goes, you know, I'm relatively young. I'm turning 31 in less than a month. So, you know, ever since I left school, the years just keep getting better, and I'm looking forward to what's coming. And I think the biggest thing that's starting to weigh me down is that I'm noticing that all my relatives and my parents, they're all getting older. I'm starting to get a little worried about certain things, and, you know, that's going to be big for anybody when you start losing people. You don't realize that when you're younger.
Very true. It's part of life. But, you know, the attitude is all you really have.
Yeah, yeah, you know, everyone has their day.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call, and may all of your days be as happy as the ones since the day of your birth.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you. 803-0930, one line open and a very popular topic. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is, I want to thank Tim Wenger for bringing this topic to our attention, actually. He found this newspaper article and was like, whoa, that's got talk show written all over it.
4 years ago.
Well, yeah, true, but we got there eventually. Here's Mike in Depew on WBEN. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Tom? Hi, Dave.
Sir. Hey.
Yeah, my best time is just basically right now, the past 20 years. I'm pushing. I'll be 69 in a couple of days. But I met my wife, my second wife, 20 years ago, and she had a 3-year-old daughter who wasn't even supposed to really live. She was only born at a pound. But it was happy times. I got to raise her and make a difference in her life.
That's awesome.
And you're talking about the baby, of course. You're not talking about your wife.
Yeah, the wife too, but she's my support.
So how important is it, because there are two schools of thought on this at least, how important is it to have a spouse who loves you and who is your best friend by your side?
Oh, it's the best thing in the world, because, you know, I got no time for hatred. Hatred is just the cancer. It's another cancer eating away at you.
That's correct.
Raising my daughter, you know, she put it in her heart to raise her daughter, to help her along the way. And it was the best thing. I remember putting a feeding tube, learning how to put a feeding tube in her nose to for her to get nourishment, and then later on grinding up her food so she could eat when they took the tube out of her.
How is this now grown-up child doing?
Oh, she's doing good. She's still doing a little school here and there. She's out of the house. She works doing AmeriCorps down in one of the South Town schools, helping the kids, and that's the way she is. She's got a great heart. She wants to help people. She's a loving person.
That is terrific. So happy to hear that. And no bad days, no times of unhappiness?
not with that, you know. Even when I was a kid, I feel sorry for the kids today. I got memories of doing things in the street, staying out with your friends and all, not sitting home in front of a TV playing video games and all. I got plenty of memories that I can still go back to now, and I loved it.
Well, happy to hear that. So far, everybody has had a great life. Thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
It is 3:56, and you are hearing News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.